Good morning. Welcome to day three. We have a long agenda this morning to complete. I would therefore like to request that we get focused on the issues and that we try to complete the items that we have before us on the agenda. And therefore, depending on how we move, we might have to limit interventions from each of the delegations so that we are able to complete this agenda. I therefore beg for your indulgence and consideration so that we are able to complete these agenda items. We only have up to 12:30 this morning to be through with the rest of the agenda items. Thank you very much. I'd like now to move on to agenda item number six. Agenda item number six is on the study of the speed of the Codex standard setting process. Many of you who are at the commission will recall the genesis of this request, and we had the Secretariat agree to help us come up with some information that would indicate how fast we develop international standards. That has been done, and I'd now like to call upon the Secretariat to make that presentation. Tom, please.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Yes, actually, it was the Secretariat that carelessly proposed that such a study should be prepared, because the Secretariat was a bit tired of hearing always that Codex is slow, without there being any objective basis on this, and the impression seemed to be based always on some things that took exceptionally long within Codex, which were then exploited to say overall Codex is slow. This came up in the context of the discussion on private standards, where it was also said that in the consultant's report that we had, sometimes private standards were created because the public standard setting bodies were not reacting quickly enough. So what we have done is going out from the most favorable conditions the Codex standard setting process allows to set a standard within 1 year. And adopted within 1 year. The study that we've done looked at all new work started between 1994 and 2008, and the course through the procedure was mapped in a huge Excel table, which I did not reproduce here. I may put it on the website later for people to look at, but it was really too much in size to print in any readable way. And the main purpose of the document is to bring some objectivity to the discussion on the speed. But there are a couple of limitations to the document, because not all Codex date has a precise start and end date. And we've already discussed it in this session that sometimes for years there are discussion documents before actually new work starts. We did not take that into account in this, because it would have been difficult to say when actually starts new work. So we have taken as a starting point when either the Commission or the Executive Committee decided to start new work. Some other choices were made in this, like we left out for the time being the numerical standards, because they are a lot. Sometimes it's also very complicated to see when it started, when it stops. But overall, this would have, taking them into account, would conceivably have contributed to giving a lower, even a higher speed for Codex, because some of these numerical standards go very fast within a year or two. Procedural work like CCGP is mostly not in the step process and was not considered, with the exception of the two texts that you know, the Code of Ethics and the Working Principles for Risk Analysis for Food Safety for Application by Governments. And some other work where it was difficult to put start or end dates was considered as ongoing, and not considered in the document. To say something concerning one committee which maybe comes out a little bit badly in the study, it's the Codex Committee on Processed Fruits and Vegetables. I have to say that this was reactivated in 1998. So all the standards that were supposed to be redone got the starting date of 1998, even though some of the work was maybe not actually started at that time. That would really mean to look at each report, when they started what, and we just didn't have the time to do that. So that could maybe be something for the future, to look at that a bit more in detail. Then sometimes also for this committee, it got work which had already been done in coordinating committees, and then to finalize it. So this additional work that was added onto the agenda sometimes increased the need, the needed time also for the revision of existing standards. To cut a long story short, as we want to be timely here, the results show that all work taken into account, the overall time needed is around 4.2 years for one standard, and for food safety matters even a bit lower, 3.5 years. And also looking at the chart, it can be concluded that the work has sped up slightly after the year 2000. And the possibility of omitting steps 6 and 7 is used increasingly frequently, whereas the accelerated procedure, which is to decide at the outset of beginning work on a standard that one would not do steps 6 and 7, is only used on few occasions. So the leaving out steps 6 and 7 is becoming more and more popular by the Commission and committees, whereas the accelerated procedure, the success of that is negligible. And even if we look at standards where this has been done, it has no relation to how long it took in the end, because the famous sardines case was accelerated procedure, and we all know how long that took. So that can maybe give some conclusions as well. To situate Codex in the context of international standard-setting organizations, the OIE recently at a workshop that we had at WTO said that they usually set standards around 4 years or a little bit more. The IPPC, rather around 6 years. So in that case, we can say Codex for food safety matters is actually fast. It's not slow, it is fast. And we can say that, and I think we should say that. And so that Codex is not measured on the speed of sardines and on the speed of apples. And sorry, coordinator from Latin America. it's not your fault, because you took it over rather late. You finished it. What we should do in the future with this study, I think it should be an ongoing process that we review the speed. And there may be many suggestions that you have on how to improve it, how to count, how to take things into account. I think a more complete study should find a way how to include the numerical standards, how to measure the speed of the numerical standard setting, where maybe we also have to take into account scientific advice. How all that works together. So Lourdes was yesterday talking about performance criteria also for that. But definitely I think it should be ongoing work, which we make available on the website. Was it Vice Chair Manino who suggested some kind of tracking system for standards in the step procedure? All that can be done. All that is actually planned also in the new website. To have a bit more overview, to have a bit more of a day-to-day overview for everybody, what is happening in Codex, where does Codex stand at this moment. I will close now, but not without thanking the consultant, Silvia Costantini, and Roberto Sciotti, who's sitting up there, who have been really helping with this document and getting it in shape. If there's any other questions, I'm happy to answer them. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. I think work well done. We want to thank the Secretariat and the parties involved in putting together this document, which now gives us a basis for counter-arguments against the slowness of Codex work. As mentioned in the presentation, the study is ongoing. This is just the beginning, and we are calling for proposals for improvement of this data. Already there has been mention of inclusion of the speed for numerical standards, but given the presentation, we want to take some general comments and proposals for improvement, and also note that actually this is an ongoing study. I also want to inform you, as already presented, that there are other details which have not been presented, the Excel sheet of where all this came from, and have been promised that this may be available on the website for further study. The floor now is open for proposals for improvement of this data. Coordinator for Asia.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair, and good morning, everybody. Based on this data, I count that 66% of the standard need more than 4 years. So I think in order to improve the speed of the standard development, we have to identify what is the cause of the delay of this process. Because when we cannot identify why the process is so long, so I don't think we can make some improvement. If the cause of the delay is about the consensus, I don't know if this is correct or not, so we have to make some effort to discuss how to improve our consensus work or consensus system. But I don't know what is the cause of this delay, mainly. So I would like to ask the Secretariat, so what is the real cause of the delay of the process? Thank you.
Thank you, Coordinator for Asia. Member for Asia, please.
Thank you, and good morning to everybody. Well, it seems that people from similar region may think similarly. Well, first of all, we'd like to thank the Secretariat for this paper, and we're kind of pleased to see the average year is shorter than we anticipated. However, looking at the results, for instance, on page 3, we could see more than one third of the work initiated were discontinued, and not really a large portion, but in a significant portion, the work took more than 6 years. I think this implies the importance of critical review, and especially critical review during the work, as well as decision on approval of new work at the very beginning. So we are pleased that earlier in this meeting, we decided to see in the future executive committee whole picture of workload of each committee. Also, I like to propose that, although I know it will not be so easy, there should be analysis of the cause or reasons of work that take very long time before finishing. And many of the cases from my experience, it's diversity or wide diversity of national legislation or strong economic impact or interest, and sometimes it's the lack of available scientific advice or data. And I think if the results of the analysis come out, then perhaps the executive committee will be in a better position to consider how to move forward or in what situation it's better to recommend this continuation of work. So although, I mean, I kind of hesitate to add more burden to the Codex Secretariat, but we'd like to see some analysis of the cause of work which does not go well or fast. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for Asia, Member for Africa.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Bonjour tout le monde. À mon tour, je remercie le secrétariat pour ce document très clair qui nous donne une bonne vue de l'évolution de l'adoption des normes. Et à la limite, ma voisine de droite a pris en compte certaines de mes préoccupations. Je m'attarderai sur, à mon avis, ce qui peut être amélioré. En tout cas, sur la base de ce qu'on a discuté de ma petite expérience, j'ai l'impression que l'utilisation de procédures accélérées permettrait de gagner beaucoup de temps. Et aussi, comme elle l'a noté, l'application stricte des critères permettrait de démarrer des travaux dont nous sommes sûrs que nous pourrons les conduire à bon port et aussi dans un délai raisonnable. Parce que je suis d'accord avec le secrétaire que contrairement à ce qu'on croit, on n'est pas aussi lent, mais il faut aussi tenir compte du fait que nous sommes dans un monde très compétitif, tout va très très vite, et que, quelle que soit la vitesse à laquelle vous allez, certainement il y a d'autres qui iront plus vite que vous. Et nous sommes dans cette situation où nous devons remplir un gap par rapport à d'autres compétiteurs. Par conséquent, quelle que soit la vitesse que nous avons, nous devons fournir encore plus d'efforts, ne pas dormir sur nos lauriers. Donc je pense que si nous mettons beaucoup d'efforts sur l'accélération et l'usage strict de nos critères, nous pourrons gagner beaucoup de temps. Je suis d'accord avec les autres, nous pouvons continuer à analyser aussi d'autres pistes pour pouvoir gagner beaucoup de temps. Merci.
Thank you very much, Member for Africa. Let us remind ourselves that this is about the speed, the study about the speed of our work. And as mentioned earlier, we need to focus on ways for improving as a way forward. I think discussions of causes, yes, we need to note and do further analysis. But as far as this item is concerned, we are focused on the speed. What we have to say about the speed? What we have to say about the methodology that has been used in order to come up with this information? And what do we do with this information? So I think let's try to focus on that for this meeting. I recognize the flags of Member for North America.
Thank you, Chair. I would generally agree with the comments that have been made to this point, and just note that one other way to use this information, the data as well as the analysis that's been talked about, is when the chairs hopefully are meeting together, the exchange of information. The chairs have a large role in making this work, and I'm sure have had a large role in seeing what the results here in terms of speed. I think for most of us, we're quite a little surprised, actually, that the data looks as good as it is. But I would just like to suggest that this is one of the ways that we can use this information is for the chairs to work with one another, help one another, exchange information so that best practices can be shared. Thank you.
Thank you, Member for North America. I recognize the flag for Member for Nearest, please.
Thank you, Chair. في البداية شكرا لأمانة الدستور طبعا على الدراسة المقدمة حول سرعة عملية وضع المواصفات في الدستور الغذائي. أن الاستنتاج بأن معدل وضع المواصفات هو 4.2 سنة وثلاثة ونصف سنة للمواصفات المتعلقة بسلامة الأغذية هو أمر جيد بشكل عام على الرغم من التعقيدات في احتساب بداية العمل لبعض الأعمال وعدم إدخال البعض الآخر والوارد أمثل عنها في الفقرات 5 و6 من الوثيقة المقدمة. وهنا أعتقد بأنه يمكن تسريع عملية وضع المواصفات إذا كان مشروع العمل مقدم مع الطلب المستوفي لجميع معايير تحديد أولويات بدء عمل جديد، حيث أن توفر طبعا مسودة أولية للعمل الجديد يوفر الوقت ويسرع من عملية التوافق بين الأعضاء في اللجنة. شكرا سيد الرئيس.
Thank you, Member for Near East. Member for Latin America and the Caribbean, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. En primer lugar, desearía una aclaración del secretariado y es saber qué porcentaje del total de trabajos que lleva adelante el CODEX corresponde a normas numéricas de establecimiento de límites, aditivos, etcétera, para saber sobre qué volumen de tareas de CODEX está concentrado este estudio, de manera de tener una idea más, más amplia de estos resultados. La segunda cuestión es que obviamente me siento satisfecha con los resultados, independientemente de que tengamos casos que son emblemáticos en la labor del CODEX por la cantidad de años que hace que están en discusión. Pero bueno, una de las diferencias fundamentales, y creo que esto hay que resaltarlo, es que en el CODEX las normas deben adoptarse por consenso y que no se puede comparar el proceso que se sigue en una organización internacional como el CODEX y la que posiblemente sigan para el establecimiento de normas privadas. Si yo no tengo que discutir con nadie las medidas que tomo, posiblemente las pueda tomar mucho más rápido, total, no afecto a nadie. Y me parece que esto es algo que también hay que valorizarlo, porque forma parte del proceso y forma parte de la importancia que en realidad tienen las normas del CODEX. No podemos olvidar que no solo de lo que se trata es de resguardar la salud de las personas y las prácticas leales, sino que las normas del CODEX tienen que estar debidamente consensuadas porque son la base legal para cualquier panel en la Organización Mundial de Comercio. Entonces, no podemos, a tontas y a locas, establecer normas o acelerar el procedimiento simplemente porque pretendemos correr una carrera. Estamos de acuerdo en que se puede ser más eficiente posiblemente en el procedimiento, que se pueden evitar tantos casos de discontinuidad de trabajos y si se analizan más adecuadamente y se tiene más en cuenta al inicio de una discusión, ¿sí? Va a haber consenso, si hay voluntad de los gobiernos para avanzar en un tema. La mayor parte de las veces, cuando no hay voluntad en el inicio, cuando se traban desde el que aparecen los primeros documentos de debate, un tema, eso se va arrastrando y cuanto menos lo que demuestra es que los países no están preparados en ese momento para tratar un tema. Entonces se dilata en el tiempo indefinidamente la discusión. Eso era todo lo que quería decir. Gracias.
Thank you, Member for Latin America and the Caribbean. I recognize the flag of Member for Europe.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I think this is a very good piece of work, and I'd like to thank the Secretariat for that. As others have mentioned, particularly the Member for Asia, I think this really just highlights the need for an active role by this committee in the critical review, looking at where standards are taking a long time to develop, and also looking at the feasibility of new work in the context of the overall workload of the committees. So I think I would certainly welcome a full analysis of this, as others have mentioned. Within that analysis, it might be worth, if it's possible, trying to weight some of these results, because not all of these committees meet every year. Some of them meet every 18 months, some of them meet every 2 years. So as an example, the standard in apples didn't take 20 years, but it took 15 sessions. So it sounds a little bit better. Sorry, I'm not picking on you, but I think it does need. I think, as I said, it does highlight that some of the committees don't meet every year. So there may be an element of delay in that. But again, it obviously depends on the type of standard and the complexity of the standard being developed. But a further analysis, just some sort of weighting, would probably be helpful.
Thank you, Member for Europe. Coordinator Nazwa, please.
Thank you, Chair. I'd like to congratulate the Secretariat for the paper. And my concern was the question of speed can only be a concern when a crisis occurs. Relative to other standard organization, I think Codex has done well with the development of the accelerated procedures and the development of electronic groups and working groups. I think Codex responds well to the demand on time with regards to setting of standards. So I'm a little bit concerned about the speed of Codex with regards to setting up a standard when a crisis occurs. For example, the crisis of melamine in milk and milk products. By the time the Codex standard on melamine would be adopted, the world has moved on from that melamine products. So what I'm saying is there must be some other procedures to accelerate the standard settings in response to a crisis. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Coordinator for Nazwa. Coordinator for Europe, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to say that we fully agree with the results presented and conclusions withdrawn by the Secretariat. I can add that not only speed, but also precision and the usefulness are important in our work. The figure showing progress of all work showing, I think, normal distribution and more or less, and is normal case, there are works which has been done very quickly, and some of them are much slower. In this reality, taking into account the presented state, I think we should to think how to make our work more efficient. And in this area, the analysis of the reasons will be very useful. If we take into account that 27% of work were not finalized, and almost 37% of the work were discontinued. And if we will find some reasons for which such kind of work were not finalized or were discontinued, I think we will improve very easily our work, and our work will become more efficient. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Coordinator for Europe. I think we have had a round of interventions. Coordinator Latin America and the Caribbean, sorry.
Gracias, señor presidente. Voy a ser muy breve. Quisiera resaltar la importancia de lo que ya hemos comentado en otras reuniones, de que se tenga una calificación de la presidencia, porque muchos de los avances o retrasos de un documento también tienen que ver con quién preside las reuniones. Se hizo un análisis, comenzó en la comisión este año y no sabemos los resultados, o bueno, no los he visto, de la evaluación de los presidentes y del desempeño de la reunión. Entonces, dado que el trabajo y el avance de los documentos tienen mucho que ver con el desempeño de la presidencia, deberíamos de tratar de implementar un procedimiento para la evaluación de todos los presidentes, aparte de compartir, de que los presidentes se sienten a compartir las experiencias y a mejorar las prácticas. Gracias.
Thank you, Coordinator for Latin America and the Caribbean. WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just three comments. First, in relation to the statement that is sometimes made here that it's very important to analyze before whether there is probability of agreement between all member states on some issue. I think it will be a little bit dangerous if we go too far down that road, especially if we are talking about safety, human health issues, because often the reasons why member states do not agree on the outset comes from the trade considerations. So if you have a big health issue, and then because of trade considerations, we stop in Codex our work to try to get agreement, that would be very wrong. If the same considerations were in the environmental area, they would not be having the Copenhagen meeting these 2 weeks. They would certainly not. So I think if problems are big in relation to health, we have to proceed in Codex. That's the important work of Codex that should always be done. And I think we have a system so that we can get agreement based on science in most cases. So I'm just warning that this thing of saying it's very likely that we don't get agreement in the end because the countries already have some different standards, that becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, and I think that's not really the way to go. Second thing, in relation to crisis, it was mentioned that we need to have a way of dealing with urgent issues in Codex, but I think it's going to be extremely difficult to deal in real time with urgent issues in Codex. Instead, we have tried to build the InfoSan network and now linking it up with the Empress food system in FAO, which is a system to link all food safety authorities so that we can quickly get information back and forth, including scientific information and including, by the way, also information in relation to relevant standards. This is not a standard setting system, because standard setting system will take time like Codex takes. But we can still, as represented by what we did with the melamine, we can still exchange information between all the member states and actually reach
through that a good agreement between member states of what would be reasonable standards. That's not the same as setting standards, but we are exchanging information. And at the end, actually, of the melamine crisis, we had a general agreement of what the level should be in relation to melamine in any types of food between all member states. Now we have to take that into the formalized codex way. But I don't think that codex can function, you know, on a day-to-day basis and respond in real time, whereas I think we have a possibility through the new mechanisms of WHO and FAO to actually do that, or to get as close as possible to do that. And then the third thing, in relation to the mentioning of the qualities of the chairs, or maybe not the quality, but that it's just my, yeah, okay. But the I think that in addition to how the chair acts, which I agree with is very important, we also need to look at how WHO and FAO supports the different committees, especially in relation to scientific advice. So if we see that there is a committee here that works significantly slower than the rest, there can be many different reasons, but one of the reasons could be that the scientific advice provided is not provided in the usual way in that area. And I think we should also consider that. And I think that there are maybe some examples in this very good material that could actually elucidate that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, W.O. I think we need to conclude this item. First of all, I think there has been appreciation of the work that has been done. Indeed, this work has given us initial data about the speed. Okay, let's have the clarification. I think there was a question specifically asked to Tom about, let me see. Yes, there was a specific question to you, Tom, about numerical standards and where they have been included.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. There were a couple. There was the thing, the mention of the discontinued work. Actually, it's not more than 30% of the work that's discontinued that is started. It is of the work that has been started and is not finalized at the moment, 37% has not been finalized because it has been discontinued. So overall, it is maybe something like 9%, 8-9% of the overall work that is started that is eventually discontinued. And even if it is discontinued, that doesn't sometimes mean that it doesn't continue in some way, because sometimes work, for instance, on some packaging material was discontinued as such, but included in a larger code of practice. So all this, sometimes we need to maybe prune a little bit the study in order to see that we count it correctly. Then there was a mention of the numerical standards. That is work to be done. How much percentage of codex is work on numerical standards? You may say that, well, pesticide residues committee probably spends, I don't know, 80% of their time on that. Food additives committee as well. Contaminants, well, a bit less. Veterinary drugs, also like 80% of their time. And these are, well, 3-4 of 20 committees. So you may come to some kind of percentage, how much percentage of the codex work is done on numerical standards. But if in the end we would count the numerical standards, the speed would go down. The speed would go up. The number of years would go down. So, sorry. transparency and consensus, very important. I wanted to put that in the conclusions, that actually from the secretariat point of view, it would be difficult to see how with the frequency that the committees meet and with the kind of transparency that we offer and the inclusiveness that we offer and the consensus that we are trying to reach, it would be kind of difficult to see how it could go faster. I think it's a good idea to do some analysis on trying to see why some work really, a lot of work really takes more than 4 years, 4 to 6 years. It would be interesting to see if we could come to some kind of points, but they were already mentioned in a way. Then we have to say also that a lot of work started before the critical review was installed, a lot of the work that we looked at. So now we can, with the critical review in place and with the new criteria and the guidance that we adopted at this session, we can hope that things will improve. Complete agreement also with what WHO say, we have to be very careful in looking if there's disagreement at the outset. Well, that's not necessarily a reason not to start work. It should not, because this is just why we have codex. If there was agreement about everything at the beginning, we wouldn't have to have this negotiating forum, Codex Alimentarius. So we have it in order to find agreement also on places where the consensus maybe is not visible at the beginning. I think that was all questions. So we will continue to work on this. If the committee so wishes, we can prepare an analysis of things that take longer. I think that was all. Thank you very much.
Secretary, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Also, you will recall that yesterday we mentioned the question of analysis of the management of work in various committees, so that would be also related. We have seen quite a change related to what the WHO said, to the scientific advice provided by FAO and WHO. In many cases, it has really changed and accelerated the speed. One of the examples also we would mention even in the work management approaches paper would be the Committee on Contaminants, because some contaminants took quite a long time. We will see when we get to the numerical standards. An example, cadmium took more than 15 years, but as soon as there were the more streamlining of the scientific advice, clear questions and exchanges between the risk managers in the committee and the risk assessors, the situation was much better, and you can see the speed has increased. So that was relating to what the WHO said. Also, we, of course, entirely agree, and just would like to recall that sometimes there is no standard setting, but there is very important advice from the expert consultation. In the case of melamine, and that had been the same with acrylamide, as soon as the emerging problem was identified, there was some scientific advice, also an expert consultation to take stock of the scientific advice. And also to reply in the question of melamine, it was not to set a standard, but for example we could also have an exchange of views and taking stock of what exists, and we did it in the Committee on Methods of Analysis and Sampling, where it was not to establish standard, but we had a discussion on what were the available methods and some exchange of experience and views between the country, which was also useful. So that are the different ways in which we can try to answer new problems and crises, as was mentioned by the coordinator for South Pacific. Thank you.
Thank you very much for all the FAO, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Quizá también para complementar la información que ustedes analizarán en el futuro, podríamos tener también alguna información acerca de cuándo se proporciona la asesoría científica y cuándo esta es usada por los comités. De una manera también para complementar toda la información y analizar la oportunidad con la que se presta el servicio de asesoría científica y después, posteriormente, cuánto tiempo tarda en ser usada. Gracias.
I think in summarizing the discussion this morning, we note that this is initial work that has been done, and we thank the Secretariat for it. It is the understanding of this committee that more analytical work needs to be done, especially on some causes for work that gets delayed beyond the average number of years that has been looked at. We also need to explore inclusion of numerical standards in the analysis. It has also been proposed that this information could be very useful, especially during the chair's meetings, in order to exchange best practices for improving the work of Codex. It has also been mentioned that Codex need to explore more the use of accelerated procedures as indicated by the data, as well as strict application of work criteria at the beginning of the work, so that we are able to improve even better on the speed of the Codex standards setting process. But given that Codex is an international, democratic, transparent, and science-based program, we think that the average speed of 4 years is good, but that could be improved. So that's the summary of this morning's discussion. I want to thank you very much for your contribution, and it's now my pleasure to hand over the chair to Vice Chair Knut to continue with the program. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Vice Chair Manindo. Vice Chair Ostergaard will take up the next two items of discussion. The next one is agenda item number 7, in which we discuss applications for observer status in Codex, and we, as we agree every year, we do not record this session. So recording will cease at this moment. Vice Chair Ostergaard, I believe we have a rather short menu of applications before us, and I will turn the chair to you to have the Secretariat introduce us and lead us quickly through this item. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Certainly, first of all, I would like to say that I hope you can bear with me. My voice is not as it should be. You will have noticed that I have had certain problems with my breathing system. I don't hope it will be disturbing too much. Second, I expect and I hope that I will only chair this committee for a very short percentage of its time, not because that I don't like to sit here, because I really enjoy being part of the Bureau of the Codex, but because we only have a couple of hours to finish our agenda, and we have my agenda points, we have some additional that we also need to have time for. So I really hope that you will help me, assist me in being efficient to the point, so that we can finalize these two agenda points in as short time as possible. Otherwise, we run into troubles finalizing other important items that would be chaired by Karen Hulebach. So let's turn to agenda item 7, which I think should be quite easy. We have application from two organizations who want to be observers to the Codex system. It has to be judged on the basis of Rule 9.6 in the Rules of Procedure, and that includes that the Secretariat carries out an initial assessment of whether these organizations live up to the criteria that they should to become observers. And what we are going to do in the Executive Committee is, on the basis of the analysis being carried out by the Secretariat, to give advice to the Directors General of the WHO and FAO, who actually decide on whether these organizations can be accepted as observers in the Codex system. So I will just turn, or give the floor to the Secretariat. I think Tom will give an introduction on these two organizations, just give us a very short brief on the background and the recommendation from the Secretariat, and then we will take comments from members, if there are any. Tom, please.
Thank you very much. Please don't think that international non-governmental organizations are not interested in Codex anymore, as there are only two items on this agenda. I have a couple more, at least, well, close to 10 pending, which for some reason or the other could not be presented at this time, because we do some, together with the legal services of FAO and WHO, some extensive checking of the organizations in order to avoid also the possibility that for some legal reasons these applications have to be rejected, and to give everybody a fair chance to to become an observer. Here on the agenda now we have first Euroglass. You may recall that at the last session this application was presented. They had to reapply for observer status because their statutes and their rules had changed significantly, so we had asked them to reapply. And a question had come up of double presentation because they are also an active member of the Confederation of the Food and Drink Industries in the EU, CIAA, which is already a Codex observer. So we had similar situations before, so we asked both organizations to clarify their cooperation, which they have done in the letter that you find in Annex 1. And the possible course of action would be that given that Euroglass and the CIAA have provided the necessary information, we could use the same procedure that we have used for BEUC and Consumers International. Namely, we would include a statement in the report under which is put there, which I'm not going to read out, that the participation, the observer status, is dependent on certain conditions. And this would also be included on the website under this observer, as we have done for BEUC as well. I will stop here for a moment to have any questions on this case. Otherwise, then later I continue with the next. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom. I think you gave a very short and straightforward explanation of the situation, and it appears to me to be a fairly easy case to conclude in the committee. But I might be wrong. Do I see any flags? I don't see any flags, so I think you have a flag? Sorry, just to be sure. I see no flags, so I think we can conclude that the recommendation from the Secretariat is accepted by the committee. So next point, Tom, please.
Thank you very much. The second organization is the Public Research and Regulation Initiative, PRRI, which has its application in the Annex 2 of the document. It is a non-for-profit society with the overall objective to inform and involve the public research sector in further development of regulations and guidelines relevant to the development and application of biotechnology, so such as Cartagena Protocol, and on biosafety and the Codex Alimentarius. This application has been checked by the Codex Secretariat and by the legal services of FAO and WHO. It has found to be complete in accordance with our guidance that we require in the procedure manual. So we put it to you for your recommendation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Tom. Any comments from the committee? That doesn't appear to be the case. So I think we can conclude that our advice to the Director Generals of the WHO and FAO would be that these two organizations are being included on the observer list. Thank you very much to everybody. That concludes point 7 on the agenda. And we will immediately move on to agenda point 8A, where we have the document CCXEC 09/63/10. This is also a point for information, but obviously if there are comments, we will take them and we will note them. It concerns an issue which is very important to the Codex. I think we all agree that the establishment of the trust fund has really been a boost to the efficiency and to the inclusiveness of the Codex as such, and we all think that is of major importance. We have been living with the trust fund for a number of years. We have seen a number of reports from Trust Fund Secretariat, and what we are dealing with here is the 12th Progress Report, which is being drafted by the Trust Fund Secretariat. And I will certainly give the word to the WHO and the FAO to introduce the report, and we will see if there are any comments. But basically, this is a point for information. So I think the WHO should have the floor. WHO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think we need a long explanation of this. It's clear. It's a traditional report. I'd like to point participants maybe to the Annex E, which is the terms of reference of the independent midterm review. And we have someone from the midterm review here also in the room who is discussing with some of you. So maybe if you had any specific comments in relation to that, that might be useful in this discussion. Of course, any other comments or questions, we would also be happy to answer. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. I think you're right. The report tells the story itself about what is going on, and we are certainly in the process of having the midterm review, and we all expect that with great interest to see what will be the conclusions of that midterm review. And when we have seen the outcomes of that midterm review, there will certainly be a basis for further discussion of the proceedings and the future of the trust fund. So if we can agree on that, I see no flags. I take it. Member of Asia, sorry. Asia, please.
Thank you, and thank you to FAO and WHO. We have some comments and some questions. Well, Japan is one of the countries providing fund to support the participation of many countries, especially developing countries, to Codex meetings. And it is very important that they can continue to participate and contribute in Codex meetings. And hopefully in the future, they'll have more or higher capabilities to express their views and to reflect in Codex recommendations. It is very important that there should be a good basis in these countries, such as number of people who can participate. But, well, Japan is a country still learning, and we have learned some lessons from the past. That is, you know, continuity is very important. I mean, sometimes when you think, well, we'd like to increase the number of people who can understand Codex, then you will switch people every time, then there won't be any continuity. That was what happened in the past in Japan. And these days, you know, we like to increase continuity. So there should be some balance between continuity and the increasing the number of people who are familiar with Codex. We think in order to increase their capabilities, as well as making, you know, explanation easy for us to our people under this economically difficult situations, I think it is important that participating countries are very serious about reporting. And the question here is, toward the end of the first page, the last sentence says, first result from analysis of information and data using new reporting format and system will be made available. Does that include the original reporting? I mean, sorry for my ignorance, but we'd like to know, I mean, with the reports, you know, it would be easier for us to explain to our taxpayers, you know, how their money is used. And then also, another question is, you know, after this midterm with you, I'm sure there will be a couple of, or more than a couple of, recommendations. So I'd like to know what would be the time frame or plan of FAO and WHO to implement these recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, member for Asia. I think we will take the member from Africa. Africa, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Je ne serai pas long, je saisirai juste cette occasion pour encore une fois vraiment remercier le Fonds fiduciaire pour son appui à la participation des pays en voie de développement. Surtout par rapport à la participation physique, non seulement c'est évident, on a constaté la présence de plus en plus accrue, mais aussi apprécier les efforts qu'ils font pour assister les candidats pour les voyages, parce que parfois ce n'est pas évident. Il y a énormément de difficultés dans certaines situations et grâce à l'intervention, la situation a pu s'améliorer. Effectivement, nous avons constaté que il y a d'autres préoccupations que le Fonds fiduciaire aurait pu prendre en compte, parce que la participation physique, c'est bien, mais aussi il y a beaucoup d'autres éléments qu'il faut prendre en compte pour que la participation soit de meilleure qualité. Mais je pense que cela, nous attendrons, comme il y a une évaluation en cours, ce serait l'occasion de faire des propositions concrètes pour aider au Fonds fiduciaire, non seulement de voir dans la durée, et surtout en termes de qualité, comment améliorer la participation. Merci.
Thank you, member for Africa. I see a flag from the member of Latin America. Please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Argentina desea señalar que siempre estuvimos de acuerdo con la iniciativa de creación de este fondo. Lamentablemente no esperábamos que la mayor parte de los países de América Latina y el Caribe se graduaran de manera tan prematura. Yo quisiera llamar la atención respecto de los resultados que se publicaron en la página 3. El 70% de los países que comenzaron a graduarse en el 2007 son de América Latina y el Caribe. Independientemente de lo que digan las estadísticas, los indicadores, las fórmulas que hayan aplicado, convengamos que acá hay algo que no funciona. Porque están incluidos países que cualquiera que busca en Google simplemente se daría cuenta que las estadísticas o los indicadores no reflejan una situación real. Por consiguiente, no, ni siquiera nos vamos a poder discutir sobre qué bases se seleccionan a los países, porque a nuestro criterio ya es una discusión que sinceramente no tiene sentido, es una batalla perdida. Lo único que quiero señalar es que con los aportes del Fondo Fiduciario, América Latina y el Caribe había logrado no solo tener una participación regional importante en las reuniones del Códex, sino que esa posibilidad de participación había ayudado a los pequeños países de la región a fortalecer sus comités nacionales, a que el Códex estuviera cuanto menos en la agenda de los directores nacionales de las agencias sanitarias. En la actualidad, la pérdida de interés por la falta de capacidad que tienen económica para poder participar en las reuniones de Códex ha hecho que otras organizaciones internacionales regionales en la actualidad estén llevando adelante programas para volver a crear o para revitalizar los comités nacionales, porque se sabe que si se mandan comentarios por escrito nadie les presta atención al contenido, independientemente de que se mencione que tal o cual país ha mandado un comentario aunque, y no está presente. Y si no se tiene la posibilidad de participar de la reunión, muchas menos oportunidades va a haber de que se tenga en cuenta las preocupaciones de un país. Simplemente era eso lo que queríamos decir como representantes de América Latina y el Caribe. Gracias.
Thank you, member from Latin America. The coordinator for Latin America has also asked for the floor, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Creo que las preocupaciones generales de la región ya fueron expuestas por el representante, pero yo tengo una duda en cuanto a los listados que aparecen en los anexos, por ejemplo, el anexo A, donde viene la quinceava reunión del Comité de Frutas y Hortalizas Frescas. ¿Estos son los países que aplicaron o los países que llegaron? Porque al menos he encontrado dos que no estuvieron en la reunión. Gracias.
Thank you, coordinator from Latin America. I think it's time to ask the WHO to respond to the questions and the comments from delegations which has spoken out. WHO, please.
Thank you very much. I think we would agree with the sentiments expressed from the member from Asia, that it's very important to have a system where we have some sort of a continuity, and therefore there is also continuity in the outcome of the Codex Trust Fund in the way that we are continuing to support the countries up to 6-7 years. That's the continuity. In relation to whether somebody can understand Codex when they get in, I mean, of course you could say that you should have continuity because only after you've been in Codex for 6-7 years you understand the system. Okay, it might be true, but I think that's also a problem of Codex, is it not? Because if you go to other international similar bodies, I don't think you need 5-6 years to understand the system. So, and I think that there are a number of activities that are going on now, also pushed from this committee, to simplify things and to make it easier for anybody who comes in to understand what's going on. I personally don't think it's so difficult, but that's also because I've been here for 15 years or something like that. So I'm probably not a very good person to try to gauge this, but I think there is a problem with the continuity and that we continue the support to the member states in through the Codex Trust Fund. We will have some outcome from the evaluation about that, but there is also a continued problem that Codex is being, we are dealing with things in a too complicated way. And I see that we are trying to simplify it, and I think that's good, but we also need to be able to explain to people on the outside what we're doing and how we're doing it. And that goes back to the discussion that we had about the web page and getting to ordinary people, including politicians. So I think we also have a problem there. There was a specific question of whether the original reporting will be included in the reporting about what the reporting is. We will not include the specific original reporting because we believe that that would be a problem for a number of different countries that are trying to give an open and clear report. You come back with a different report if you know that will be put on the web page, you know, and there will be a number of problems in relation to what you state in the report that you might not want to state if you know that it'll end up on the web page. And as far as I know, we don't expect any of the other countries, the countries that are not supported from the Codex Trust Fund, to get back to us saying what they got out of the Codex meeting. So I'm a little bit concerned if we wanted to put the original reports there. I think that we would not get the same out of these original reports if people preparing them knew that they would be put directly on the web. I don't think that's so good. But we will take the advice also from member states also through the review also on this, of course. Then there was a question of when we would implement the suggestions from the review. The review is timed so that it will get into discussions at the CAC this coming year, 2010. So the outcome of the CAC would then be directly implementable, we hope. So we will initiate that immediately after CAC.
Of course, there might be some of the things that will have to take
more time, but in general, we would implement immediately after CAC, so it means that the things would hopefully come into effect in 2011. There was a question from Africa in relation to ensuring that we're doing all the three parts, all the three objectives of the trust fund. First one was physical presence, getting somebody to the meetings. We've been doing that. Second one was quality of participation. We have started to do that by training sessions and other activities. And the third one is trying to improve the scientific basis, provision of data from developing countries, participation of scientists, and that is where we are still lacking, I would say. I think that would also come out of the review, and we have some suggestions, hopefully out of the review, of how we can even strengthen that. We also have that from the previous reports. So I agree that this is the area that we should really also focus on now. From Latin America and the Caribbean, we continue to be a little bit confused about this separation of the countries into regions as respect to the support from the trust fund. There is no setup in the trust fund that says that there should be the same percentage of countries in region A as in region B that should get support from the trust fund. That has never been suggested. If members suggest that, we should consider it and maybe change. It has never been suggested because we had some very clear criteria that relates to the development status and the income status in these countries. And that was what was agreed from the start, and that is why some of the South American countries are getting out of the trust fund or has had all the trust fund support that they will have. That's because in South America, you have countries that are at a higher economic development stage than, for instance, in Africa. So that setup naturally will result in African countries who are poorer being supported longer time than South American countries who are not so poor. That was what we decided in the beginning. That is what the donor countries have put money in to do. So that's what we're trying to do. But, of course, the review is there to tell us whether we should also change that. And if the review comes out and says it would be a good idea to change that, and if the Codex Amitatis Commission in 2010 says, please change immediately so that all regions have exactly the same frequency or percentage, we should do that. I think it would be a mistake to do that. I think we would lose some donors, but that's another issue. Thank you very much.
Thank you, WHO. I think your comments made the coordinator from Latin America raise their flag again. So please, coordinator.
Gracias, señor presidente. Me parece importante que durante la revisión del fondo fiduciario se enfoque más en lugar de al nivel de desarrollo e ingresos de un país, al nivel de la infraestructura instalada que tiene para la inocuidad alimentaria, porque eso haría mucho más activa la participación de los países y mucho más nutrido los aportes hacia el interior de Codex y del desarrollo de normas Codex. Más que ayudar a aquellos países que no tienen nada y que van a ir a la reunión a no aportar nada, sería mejor ayudar a aquellos países que ya tienen una infraestructura instalada y que van a ir a aportar y a desarrollar más sus capacidades. Gracias.
Thank you, coordinator for Latin America. I see a flag from coordinator for Near East. Near East, please.
شكراً سيد الرئيس. أود أن أتدخل فيما يخص سحب الدعم عن البلدان. طبعاً الطرق المعتادة من طرف المنظمة العالمية للصحة طرق اقتصادية. لكن ما نرغب أن نراه في هذه التقارير حول استعمال هذه الموارد هو هل أن البلدان التي تم دعمها من طرف صندوق الأمانة هل واصلت المشاركة بعد سحب الدعم، وهذا طبعا يقودنا إلى البلوغ الهدف الذي نصب إليه كلنا، هو استمرارية مشاركة هذه البلدان النامية في دورات الدستور الغذائي. طبعا في هذه الجداول لا نتبين هل أنا ولكن أعطيكم مثال، نحن بعد سحب الدعم في بعض اللجان التي كنا نشارك فيها لم نتمكن من إيجاد التموين الكافي في بلدنا لمواصلة المشاركة في هذه الدورات. شكرا.
Thank you, Coordinator for Near East. I think on this issue of criteria for support, I would like to remind all delegates that this part is also internalized in the midterm review. If you look at our meeting document, page 22, part of the description of what the midterm review is actually going to do, in point F, it's about the project management, and it says that also the issue of how to select countries for support, the methodology being used, is part of the midterm review. So that is where all member states can come with their comments on this. And as the WHO representative has just explained us, obviously, if this midterm review give a basis for changing the criteria, that will be part of the discussion. So I hope we can stop that discussion here now. I know it's a major interest to a number of countries. It's perfectly understandable, but it is a part of the midterm review, and we have all the opportunities to give our comments from wherever in the world we come. So I beg that we can accept that this is a part of the midterm review and say, let's take the debate when we have the outcome of the midterm review. But before we finalize the subject, I think FAO has asked for the floor for a while. FAO, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Solamente para hacer referencia a la discusión sobre el tiempo necesario para entender Codex y participar de manera efectiva, solamente quisiera informar al comité que como parte de nuestra participación con nuestros colegas de la OMS, estamos realizando un estudio sobre las lecciones aprendidas en los programas de capacitación que la FAO tiene exactamente para mejorar o apoyar a los países en sus trabajos del Codex. Esperamos que este informe esté concluido y pueda estar disponible para la próxima comisión, de tal manera de que además pueda ser también un input importante en el análisis de esta situación. O sea, entender no solamente es la participación en las sesiones, sino también asegurar de alguna manera la comprensión y los mecanismos internos a nivel nacional para poder continuar de manera sostenible el trabajo. Gracias.
Thank you, FAO. Important information about another activity going on to evaluate our system, which can be taken on board in the general discussion for the next CMC. Before we close, I would like to give a last chance for the WHO to express final views.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. In relation to withdrawing support, yes, it is exactly because the idea was that there should be some sort of sustainability of whatever we try to achieve. So the sustainability was thought to be that you support a country for some years, maybe 6 years, then during that period the country would realize whether it makes sense that they participate or not, and then after that, in a perfect world, they would continue to participate. Now we know that the world is not perfect, and that's one of the reasons of the midterm review, to find out should the program be longer than the 12 years, should we be able to support some of these countries defined by some new criteria. That's one of the very important things of the review, so we are looking forward to that. The last thing, I think it's a very interesting issue to look at the infrastructure for food safety as suggested. There are two issues. One is, we don't have that material, but it would be very interesting to have
it would be a major undertaking to look into the 192 countries of FAO and WHO and find out what the infrastructure is. But we would really like to use some data on that if they were available. If they're not available, we have to set aside funds to do something like that, which is, I guess, rather expensive. But I think the idea is good. However, I would like to understand how the thinking can be that we should support those who have a food safety infrastructure instead of supporting those who have not. I mean, the whole thing that we have discussions about in WHO, governing bodies at least, is that WHO is there to help all member states, but especially the member states that are very poor. And that is, I think, the purpose also of the trust fund was to go in and help these countries that have problems. The purpose of the trust fund was not to say we should only help the countries that are already at a certain stage and the rest can just sail their own sea.
Chair, the chair has asked for the floor, please.
Thank you, Mr. Vice Chair. I'm certain that while none of us are surprised to hear the strong views of our representative from WHO, that the representative from WHO is a full participant in what will be an open, full, comprehensive review, a midterm evaluation, a fair midterm evaluation of the trust fund, and that he certainly doesn't mean to imply a prejudgment of any sort of outcome of the midterm evaluation. The questions of criteria for participation are on the table, as the Vice Chair has pointed out, and we all are urged to participate in this review and should make our views very clear. I am certain that WHO, as an open and public organization, and with FAO, will approach the results from the findings of the interviews in a fair and open and balanced manner. I'm certain of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The coordinator of Latin America has asked for the floor again. Latin America, please.
Gracias, señor presidente. Solo para explicar o tratar de explicar un poco el razonamiento que hay detrás de la infraestructura en inocuidad alimentaria. Aquellos países que no tienen infraestructura en inocuidad alimentaria necesitan ayuda mucho más básica que el ir a una reunión en la cual no aportan nada. Gracias.
Thank you, coordinator for Latin America. I think we all agree that the midterm review is the next major step that has to be taken, and I'm sure that everybody will take an impartial view of what comes out of the midterm review and has that as a basis for discussion and take on board all views that are being presented in the report. And I guess we agree on that, but maybe the WHO would like to have a final comment.
No, just to say that I hope that when we have discussions here, it's trying to clarify the statements. So if somebody doesn't understand the statement, we should have the discussion. And sometimes we use a very, very long time to very, very small and, in my mind, not very important changes in words. But if we discuss whether we should support this group of country or that group of country based on this or that criterion, I think it's extremely important if everybody, including the WHO representative, who might be a little bit slower than everybody else, understands exactly what we mean when we say that. And that's why I say that it's a very interesting perspective and that we have to get some more information about it, but we also need to understand whether we can follow the general thrust of what WHO is trying to do and is told by its member states to do, and how we can fit these things together. And the WHO secretary, just like the Codex secretary, is here to do what the member states tell us to do. So I'm just reporting back to you what the member states of WHO in general says, in general in other areas. You would say that it's very important to support the poorest because they are the ones that have the biggest problems in relation to that. That might be that in this case, we have to look at some other criteria for other reasons, but it has to be really very clear why we're doing that, and that's what I'm urging the representatives to then put into the review or any comments to us in relation to the review. Thanks very much.
Thank you, WHO. I think it's time to close the debate on this. We have had a number of views, and that will be taken into the report, and certainly the general conclusion of this agenda point is that we are looking forward with great interest to the outcome of the midterm review, and when that has been carried out, so we can study it, all of us, and then there is a basis for further debate of the future of the trust fund, whether selection criteria, whatever may be for discussion, that can be discussed and decisions taken by the appropriate bodies. So thank you everybody for participating in that agenda point, and I think we should try to take the chance to take point 8B before the coffee break. See if we can do it.
Sorry.
The coffee break is 11. Maybe I'm too optimistic. Okay, we'll take a coffee break. But I really, really please everybody be back in the 15 minutes that is allowed for the coffee break. Otherwise, we are in deep trouble finalizing the agenda. So please, the meeting is adjourned.